What's up, everyone, and welcome to episode number 157 of the Well Met podcast. I am your host, Ray C, and here with me today is actually not the normal crew. Unfortunately, Danny and JR are AFK, busy dealing with real life stuff, and instead of them, I actually have a special guest, the current DreamHack champion, Fury Hunter. Is that how you want me to pronounce it?
yeah, that's exactly right.
Yes, okay, so Fury Hunter, he is fresh off of a DreamHack win, and I am here to talk with him today about how he prepared for the tournament, what it was like, and all that good stuff. Just give him a background. So why don't you introduce yourself a little bit, Fury? Just let us
know. Okay, so hey guys, I'm Fury Hunter, and I first got into Hearthstone because one of my friends showed me the game, and then we started playing in class, and after a few months I kind of got a little bit better than the others, and some of them stopped playing, and we were some guys that kept playing, and then I just became, you know, better and started competing in tournaments, and at the start it didn't go very well because I was not that good yet, but then I prepared more and more and played the game more and more, and yeah, eventually I got to win DreamHack. That's kind of the short story.
Where are you from, first of all, and what server do you play on?
I'm from Denmark, and I play mainly on the EU server. Some months ago I started playing NA as well, because I feel like you kind of have to have two servers to make it to playoffs. In Europe, you need a lot of points to get to playoffs. So
yeah, that's for sure.
It's hard.
How many points do you have now after the DreamHack win?
I have 25 because I kind of fucked up. In one of the 2 months ago, I was ranked 26 Legend with 1 hour to go, and I thought, let's go for the top 25, and then I finished top 200. So, and then last month I only got a top 500. So yeah,
yeah,
kind of unlucky.
And it was DreamHack Summer that you just won, right? So
yeah,
that's in Sweden.
It is, yeah.
Okay.
So it's right next to my country. I live in Denmark.
Okay, so you got to go to DreamHack Summer. You've been practicing. You kind of came up as just the way that I did and most of the other grinders, right? You just grind ladder. You get incrementally better, and then you just realize, hey, I'm pretty good at this game. Let's try to dedicate more time and effort into it. And then was this one of your first tournaments? Like, how far into the process were you until you got your big win this past weekend?
I've been at 4 DreamHacks before this one, and in HCT Oslo, so it was my 6th like big LAN event outside of Denmark.
That's pretty good.
So yeah,
like
that's cool.
Yeah, and what did you win? Like, what were the prizes? Yeah.
It was $5,000 and 15 points.
And now you said you're at 25. And what was the cutoff for EU last time? I think it was like 32 or something crazy like that compared to NA.
It was 32, and I had 30, and everyone told me, yeah, 30's enough, you can just camp your top 100. And so I didn't go for top 50, and then it wasn't enough.
Oh my god, that's the worst feeling in the world. I have never had that happen to me. I feel so privileged to like be playing on North America, because our qualifications last time were only 22, maybe a little higher, I don't really remember, but I'm pretty sure it was 22, and EU was 32, and the like 10 points, you said you got 15 for winning DreamHack, so the difference between qualifying on EU compared to NA is almost a whole DreamHack win. That's insane to think about. Like, that's
mind-blowing
to me. And now you're at 25. This is, what, the second to last month? You still have one more month after this, so you have you only have to get, what, 7 more points or so, and then you're good to go?
I'm pretty sure the cutoff is going to be, like, 36 to 39 this time, because we have one more month, and there are points for the last playoffs, so it's going to be a lot more.
That's true. Actually. So pretty much what's happening this month is we're having 4 months of play, so you have four months, 4 seasons, and then they take the best 3 months that you had. So if you finish top 50, top 50, top 50, and top 100, they're only taking the 3 top 50s, and they're excluding the top 100. They're just taking the 3 best finishes that you have points-wise for each month, and they're discarding the worst one. And that's pretty good, because it basically means you can just have a month where you just do poorly, and it most likely just won't hurt you, but you definitely need to be on those other months if you have a month where you just kind of miss. How is your season and your grind been going so far?
This month it's going pretty well. I've been sitting top 100 both EU and NA a large portion of the month, so I'm feeling pretty confident that I will get a finish this month, and yeah, hopefully make it to playoffs. It would be a shame if I didn't after I just won DreamHack. So
I think you're gonna make it, honestly. I would be very surprised if you didn't. But
yeah, same.
Our viewers are always really, I said viewers, but they're not watching it. Listeners, our listeners are always interested in what ladder decks that we're currently playing. So what decks are you actually playing right now that you're doing really well on ladder with?
Right now, I've been practicing a lot for DreamHack, so I was mostly just playing my DreamHack decks, and I was pretty quickly sold on, I really want to play Warlock and Druid, and I thought that even Warlock was just really strong right now, so I've been playing a lot of that, and it's really good on ladder too. When I want to really try half time, I mostly use that deck, and then I was pretty sold on Token Druid. I really like the skill cap you can have on the deck. You get to make a lot of decisions every game, but you really have to be focused when you play that deck, do a lot of math and so on.
Yeah.
And I really like Odd Rogue, just going one drop on one, henspin on three, hit him in the face, and win. and then, of course, I play some Odd Warrior, but I've played it a lot, and it's not really good in the ladder meta right now. So I haven't played it, a lot. But I've played it a lot the last months. It's definitely my most played deck this expansion. So I was pretty confident that I could still play that well, even though I didn't play it as much going into DreamHack.
So what do you think, out of all the decks that you played, would be the best one for ladder? And are there any special Fury Hunter techs or any spice that you're cooking up?
I really like Evenluck. And I really think that one of the best cards in the deck is Black Knight. I think it's really good. Hearthstone Replay also says it's the best drawn win rate card. That might also be because of sample size, but every single deck I've seen it in, it has been one of the top 2 best drawn win rate cards. And when I play it, I feel like it's very strong. If the opponent plays Lich King and you play a Black Knight, you straight up win a lot of the time, and that is so many good targets for it right now. There are pretty many Lich Kings on ladder in the tournaments. And also against Torn Druid or in the mirror, you just win games off of Black Knight. I really think that card is really good.
So you're saying to invest all of our stock into the Black Knight right now. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
There's a meme on the podcast where I play Big Mage a lot. And my co-hosts call it Bitcoin Mage, because before it got big, a while ago, before people knew Big Mage was actually, a thing that existed, I was like, you got to invest your stock in the Bitcoin Mage. And then ever since then, whatever we think is going to trend or whatever we think is going to blow up, we're investing in it. So right now, we're investing in the Black Knight, is what you're telling me.
Exactly, yeah. And I've also heard of people playing Black Knight and Shadowwalk Shaman and just crushing Torn Druids with the Shadowwalk and Black Knighting all the stuff.
Oh my god. All right. You heard that.
I don't know if that's more of a meme.
I don't know, man. We'll find out. But yeah, that's definitely a really cool inclusion. I think that's pretty new, honestly. Like, before it you won yeah. DreamHack with it, I don't think I saw it that often. But once you won DreamHack, I feel like it just became a standard auto-include in Evenlock, and I'm always having to look out for it. Like, if I'm playing Taunt Druid, and they have been holding a card for a while, I almost know that's, like, the Black Knight now, just because of, effectively, just because you won DreamHack with that. But before that, I never played around the Black Knight or anything. I just feel like it didn't exist for a while. Was that something that you came up with, or was it something that you took from somewhere?
I don't want to take any credit for the Black Knight tech. It was mostly just because of Aegis Replays said it was a good card, so I was like, maybe I should try this card. And I also saw other people try it, and they almost all said that it was really good, really performing well for them. And I and a lot of people thought that Geist was pretty shit, because it's very slow. I tried to play both Geist and the Black Knight. But for example, when you play against Miracle Rogue and you have Geist, Black Knight, and Gen in hand, you just lose. I feel like that's too slow, and I definitely think the Black Knight is better than the Geist in a lot of matchups.
So you're playing it over Skulking Geist?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make that clear. And obviously, super successful with it, and now it feels like everybody on the Legend Ladder that I see when I'm playing against Evenlock is definitely just most likely net decking you at this point, which is pretty which is pretty cool. But we've seen that before, except last time I don't really think you got proper credit for that. Do you want to talk about that a little bit before we get into talking more?
So I made an odd warrior deck and got ranked one legend with it, and then Play Hearthstone on the official Twitter made a post about off-meta decks, and they featured my exact list and gave credit to another guy. It was not his fault, and after he saw it, he also wrote on his own Twitter, this is not my deck, this is Fury Hunter's deck, just to make that clear. But the guy who made the article defended it and said, no, he did well with the deck, so it's his deck. And I was like, I don't think that's how it works.
So basically, some random person net decked you, did worse than you, but still did decent, and Play Hearthstone gave them all the credit, even though the person who they gave the credit to said that it was you who they net decked, and you actually did better than they did with it since you got rank one legend.
Yeah, he also said, no, but that dude got 67% win rate with it, and I said to him, I got 81% to rank one legend. I don't think he did better than me, but okay, if you want to keep saying it's his deck, then I don't know. I didn't really want to argue with that guy anymore.
I mean, like, you just can't, right? It's just a lose-lose scenario, because you argue with them, and then you're arguing with somebody who works for Blizzard, which means, I mean, you don't want to get on their bad side, because you want them to help you out, and it also just kind of hurts internally, just knowing that you didn't get proper credit for something that everybody except for apparently Blizzard like acknowledged, which is so weird to me that they like defended their own statement, even though it was kind of like wrong. But I guess it is what it is.
Now when they make those off-meta decks articles, they don't give credit to anyone, so that they don't give the wrong guy credit anymore. And I also want to say that the casters have been really good at giving me shout out for the deck. Like, they always call it Fury Hunter Warrior, and also a lot of streamers have been good at saying, this is Fury Hunter Warrior or whatever. So it's only that one article that was really off point.
The real ones, they know what's up.
Yeah,
that's pretty funny though. But yeah, so that happened. And you ended up using that warrior as well in your DreamHack lineup, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so do you want to go over what your DreamHack lineup was? Do you want to tell us like what the decks that you used were, and then if there's anything cool or unique about them?
Yeah, okay, so first of all, I thought Warlock and Druid are too good not to bring, pretty much. And I also expected a lot of other people to think the same way that, oh, Warlock and Druid is pretty strong. So I really wanted my lineup to be good against those. So I thought, Evenlock is pretty good against Cubelock. So I probably want to play Evenlock over Cube. And then Odd Warrior is pretty good against all the Druids and the Warlocks, except for the Even Warlock with Geist. But if they have Geist in their deck, they are unfavored in the mirror. And then my fourth deck should also be pretty good against those, especially if they have that Geist and Evenlock, and therefore they are good against my Warrior. So, and I wanted to go for an aggressive deck for other matchups' sake. Like, it's hard to go around all the matchups because I had to like think about everything,
Yeah, for sure. It's not like something that you can just easily explain in a minute because there's so many matchups that you have to consider.
Yeah, it has taken me a lot of hours to think about everything, like multiple days of just thinking for 3+ hours straight about the lineup. So, but I ended up going for Odd Rogue because it's pretty good against Torn Druid, and it's pretty good against the Warlocks, especially Cublock. And then it is a little bit weaker to Token Druid, but I thought I had some good coverage for Token Druid with the Evenlock, and the Odd Warrior is like 55 to 60% favored against it, I feel. And also, I checked scenarios in the Token Druid to be good in the mirror. I got that check from Ike.
Yeah, the Ike used that at DreamHack Austin where he ended up getting top 8. That was kind of something that he pioneered that a lot of people picked up afterwards, is just putting Cenarius and Token Druid to give yourself more of an edge so you don't have to go for that fatigue route and you can just power through your opponent's boards.
Yeah,
So
but I actually ended up playing no Token Druid Mirrors because in the Swiss I faced 7 Torn Druids and 2 Maligos Druids, and it was only in the top 16 I faced 2 Token Druids, but other than that, there were pretty much only Torn Druids.
okay, so your lineup was Odd Warrior, the same list as you have been playing for a while that you got rank one
Yeah.
legend with. Is there anything spicy in that list, or is it just kind of standard Odd Warrior with the rush package, just tank up?
I thought about what can I cut, and I came to the only pretty much cuttable cards were Mind Control Check, Faceless, and Gore Howl. And I really wanted 2 BGH for Even Warlock, but then I played as someone ladder, and in pretty much all other matchups, it's just really bad to have 2 big game hunters, especially like they're nerfed, so it's just a 5 mana 4/2 if it doesn't get value. It's also pretty good against Baku, but if you have two, they're not very good.
It's also maybe like overkill. I feel like you usually win that matchup even just with the one, right? Like the even Warlock versus the
Yeah,
Warrior.
it was mostly because I had, if they have Geist, I really want that second big game hunter, but that's where the Odd Rogue came in, because I was really considering should I bring Odd Pala, Midrange Hunter, or Odd Rogue. I ended up going for Odd Rogue because it's better against Warlock, and then I didn't need the double big game hunter to ensure that matchup as Warrior.
Okay, so the second deck after the Odd Warrior is the Odd Rogue. Did you include anything unique in that list, or is it just kind of a standard Odd Rogue deck?
It was just whatever cards I thought was good for killing my opponents. And I think that Owl is really bad. But I was like, should I play Owl? Because I saw a guy get rank one legend like 2 days before the deck submission with Odd Rogue, and he was playing the exact same list. I was minus green skin and plus Owl. But I thought it's only really good against Warlock, I feel, and in a lot of matchups it's just really bad. So I ended up just going with the list I thought was the best, and it worked out.
Nice. Okay, so you have, so far we have the Odd Warrior, we have the Odd Rogue, so two odd decks, and then the Even Warlock is the third one, right? And you have the Black Knight in that. Is that really the only super spicy thing?
I think Sipivi, another Danish guy, told me about playing maybe one Doomsayer, because two Doomsayers can be really dead in your hand if you don't have them by turn two or three. But one Doomsayer actually performs pretty well. And in stats, I looked at the decks. If they had double Doomsayer, it was pretty much always the worst drawn win rate card, after Gen, of course. And if they only had one Doomsayer, it was one of the better cards. So I really liked that, and I tried it on data, and I felt like one Doomsayer was the way to go.
Yeah, and Sipiwi is actually somebody who we've talked about quite a bit on this podcast, because he is a known wild expert, and he's actually Danny's good friend. I'm pretty sure it's the same one. He's just playing more standard nowadays, right?
It is, yeah. It's the same.
Nice. So cool, dude. Now he's trying to transition over to standard while still playing wild on the side. It looks like that's what he's doing. I follow his like what he's doing on Twitter a lot, because I actually think he's one of the best players in the game, and people just don't know it yet.
He's really good. I've also played with him sometimes, and he's a really good player.
Yeah, I mean, if you can consistently be like known as the best player in one format and then switch over to another format and just consistently be getting top 10 legend, I just feel like there's no way he's not going to have a breakout performance this year or at some point soon.
Yeah, for sure. If he really focuses on standard and gets to know the environment at the tournaments and gets used to it, he's going to do something great soon.
Yeah, and then so we have the Odd Warrior, the Odd Rogue, Even Warlock, and then for the last deck you decided to go with the Token Druid. And was there anything cool in that deck, or was it just pretty standard?
It was actually just Ike's list from Austin. I felt like the list was pretty good, and I wanted the Scenarios tech for the mirror. I ended up going for that deck because I was a little bit weak to Odd Paladin, which like if I picked Taunt Druid, it wouldn't. It's not as good against Odd Paladin, and it's also good against Miracle Rogue, which I also know. Yeah, I could have been a little bit weak to that. It's good against Even Warlock, and then it can get the win versus the Odd Warrior, and then they can just ban the Odd Rogue, and I'm pretty weak to that. So I liked having the Token Druid over the other druids.
Now with this lineup, what deck did you find yourself banning the most? What was the ban strategy?
The ban strategy was definitely first ban the Crest Warrior, because it's just really good against Token Druid, it's really good against Odd Rogue, and it's really good against the Odd Warrior. And then they just ban my Warlock, and they can just 3-0 me with it. So that was the main ban, and another main ban was the Jaina Mage, because if they just ban my Token Druid, they are really good against me with Jaina Mage. But the Warlock can get the win, and I thought, people are not going to play like Quest Warrior and Jaina Mage in the same lineup. I also checked a lot of lineups in Austin to see if people actually went with those two decks. But they don't really make sense in the same lineup, because Odd Warrior wants to really just farm the Token Druids. I meant Quest Warrior really wants to farm the Token Druids, and the Jaina Mage really wants to ban the Token Druid.
Mm-hmm. And this is Last Hero Standing, so you kind of just don't need two of the same decks. Like, you're not going to target out a specific deck like you do in Conquest, where you say, okay, I'm going to try to let this deck never get a win. With Last Hero Standing, you kind of have to, it's more of a back and forth, right?
Yeah. And also, I wanted to ban Shadowwalk Shaman if they had Wild Pyromancers in their deck, because then they're good against Odd Rogue, Token Druid, and Odd Warrior, and can just ban my Warlock. So I wanted to ban that too. That's why in the semifinal against Faeli, he actually had both Shadowbox Shaman with Pyromancers and the Animage, and I was like, oh shit, now it's gonna come down to who bans what. So I thought, well, he's probably gonna ban my Warlock. So I banned his Shadowbox Shaman, and then he ended up banning my Token Druid. So his Dynamage would be really good against my decks, but I thought, okay, this even Warlock can get the win. It's a little bit unfavored, but it ended up working out because I drew the two Giants and stuff.
Yeah, so basically, what happens a lot in Last Hero Standing is if you get put into a situation like that where you kind of just have three unfavorables, but one matchup is like somewhat winnable. If you had lost with the even Warlock against the Jainamage, do you think you would have just got 3-0 swept by the Jainamage?
It ended up being the last match at like at 2-2. It was the last match, and I thought Odd Rogue has a chance against it, and even Warlock has a chance against it. But even Warlock has the best chance, so I really wanted to keep the even Warlock for that matchup, and it was really likely that those two decks were gonna match up against each other because my even Warlock was favored against his two other decks, and his Dynamage was also favored against my other two decks. But it ended up the other decks battled each other out, so his Dynamage just had to beat my Odd Warrior, and that's already a really bad matchup for the Odd Warrior. And his build was so greedy. I thought of just conceding turn one because I could never win that matchup. But and then he had the Geist on turn six. I was like, if I knew his deck, I would concede here. And then he had the Jaina on 9, and I thought, okay, what is the reason not to concede here? But it was only because, you know, people might not understand how bad the matchup is.
I mean, you also just want that stream time.
Yeah, also that. And I don't want to just be known as the guy, oh, he just gives up because, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. You gotta milk the stream time. You gotta milk all the viewers that you can get, right? All the exposure.
Yeah.
And you never know, maybe your opponent misclicks somehow. I don't really know how you can misclick enough to lose that matchup at that point, but...
No. Yeah. I think he could have slipped for like 10 turns instead of 1. But, yeah.
Probably. But yeah, so with Last Hero Standing, you just really have to make sure there's no huge vulnerabilities in a lineup because you're always afraid of getting... Even though you ended up playing that even Warlock versus Jainamage as the last matchup, if that had... Say that had happened first, right? Like, you're always afraid of getting 3-0 swept in a situation like that. Last Hero Standing, it consists of a lot of... I feel like it's back and forth. It either goes 2-2, it goes to game 5... Or you just get 3-0'd. Like, you just lose that first matchup where it's the matchup that you need to win. And if you don't win it, then the rest of your lineup is just weak. So, did you find that that situation happened a lot, where you had a lot of game 5s and a lot of 3-0s?
Yeah, and I also have, like, a lot of 3-1s, because sometimes if you have a deck that just 3-0's the opponent, you don't want to go for it first because maybe you want to get a win with another deck first, and then you want the best matchup for your good deck. And then you take it, and then you maybe lose the first game, and then you just take a good deck and 3-0 from there, so it's a 3-1.
Right, so just in case, like, you want to make sure that you're basically counter-queuing and getting the best matchup possible, and then you win, and then you just 3-0 anyways, so it doesn't ever matter. Basically.
Yeah.
And, going into it, you had that lineup. You think, okay, I've done a lot of testing. I've done, I don't know, how many hours do you think you put into just the preparation and the practice?
I don't know, because it kind of laps over with ladder, you know, because I play those decks on ladder to get to high legend, and if they don't work on ladder, they might not work in tournaments. Sometimes they work in tournaments anyways, but I feel like at least right now you gotta go for some good decks. So I wanted to test them on ladder and see, does this deck do well against the field? And the decks did pretty well on ladder, so I don't know, but I put a lot of hours. Also, I look at a lot of stats on HS Replay and talk to a lot of people. What do you think this is good against? And I also did a lot of prac sets. I went 7-1 in best of 5s in practice against other guys going to DreamHack Summer. They just played their lineup. I played my lineup, and yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna ask. Is what do you feel is the best way to practice? Like, what is the best use of your time? Is it going to be play 100 hours of ladder with my tournament decks, or do you prefer splitting that time up between ladder and just playing sets against other people, like just best of fives? Or do you like scrim tournaments, or do you just like to sit there and look at stats and theory craft? Like, what do you think is the optimal way to prepare for a big tournament? Because I know there's a lot of people who listen who do end up going to DreamHacks and stuff. It's actually really cool because they'll come up to me and they'll say, like, introduce themselves to me, say that they listen to the podcast and stuff, and it'll be like one of their first tournaments. And that's something that they're always looking out for, is just, how do I approach going to a DreamHack? How do I approach preparing and figuring out what the best use of my time is?
I think the best use of the time, just for the DreamHack, like the preparation time, is looking at a lot of stats, looking at why is this matchup like this, can I play the deck as well as the stats say, or can I even play it better, as in the Odd Warrior case, the stats are not very correct there. And then also talk to some other people that you know are good, and just practice with them, talk about what is this deck good against, and then play some best of fives. I really like playing some best of fives, and I also know when I play against someone and I play a best of five, I'm like, oh, that deck is really cool. Why? What is that good against? And then they say, oh, it's really good right now because it's good against this and that. For example, I played against Hoy and Hoy, the Danish guys, the brothers.
Yeah.
And I 3-0'd them with Odd Rogue, and then they ended up beating Odd Rogue. And at the tournament, Nikolai Hoy said to me, I'm really glad that you 3-0'd us with Odd Rogue, because my Odd Rogue has swept a lot of people this tournament. So that's kind of where it's really good to have played these best of fives, to see what do other people think is good. And maybe you've created a lineup in theory, and then you play five best of fives, lose them all, like 3-0, you're just like, oh, I didn't really think of this. And then you might have to go back to the theory crafting and then play some best of fives again.
Mm-hmm. So when you say, look at the stats, I think that's something that confuses a lot of people because they don't really know what that means. What do you do when you look at the stats? Like, what are you actually doing? How do you see those stats? What are you looking for? What are you doing?
I personally use HS Replay a lot. I've bought Premium, and I think that's some of the best money I've invested in Hearthstone. Because then you can see like all the legend stats that I don't really know what you can do without Premium, but you can see I go to HS Replay, go to the meta, go to matchups, and then click on legend, and then I see how does this deck match up against all the other decks that are in the meta right now, and I look at, okay, so if I have this deck, if I have Odd Warrior, it's really good against, I would say it's good against Q-Block and Taunt Druid. Stats don't really say that, but so that's kind of a bad example. But
yeah, so you go to HS Replay, get the premium. Like,
so you look at Odd Pella, it's good against Odd Rogue. Okay, then I'm kind of fine against the Odd Rogue. And then you also need some other decks that are good against it. And then you find a lineup and you look at, okay, what is this bad against them? In my case, it's generally Quest Warrior. So I'm looking at probably banning that. So I want some other good decks that they don't really need to beat that class. So, but they need to beat other things.
Right. So you're using the stats to see what you're bad against, and then you can supplement or make your lineup have complementary decks like that are also bad against that thing that you want to ban. So say you have three decks that are all bad against Quest Warrior, you can have like another deck that's just bad against Quest Warrior, because I mean that's an extreme, but like you could just add another deck that's bad against Quest Warrior just because you're banning it, because you look at the stats and the stats say that Quest Warrior is a bad matchup for the three decks that I already want to play. that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And
you
then
you can definitely do that. Yeah.
And you said
In LHS, I generally like having a kind of flex band, though. It's a thing I've talked about. I've talked to some guys about, because if the opponent has two decks you want to ban and you didn't expect them to bring both of those, if you are really bad with all your decks against one of them, they know that you're going to ban that, and then they can use that to your advantage. In my case, if people have brought both Quest Warrior and the Animage, they didn't know what to ban. If they ban my Token Druid, that Janemage is really good. If they ban my Warlock, the Warrior is really good. And then I can look at, okay, if I expect my opponent to ban my Token Druid, then I just ban his Janemage, and I can still beat his Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't all the time want all of your decks to be bad against that. Most of the time it's good if just three of the decks are really bad against that, especially in LHS, where
right.
You can't really be too weak to this deck, because then you're just going to get 3-0.
Right, and that's what you're always trying to avoid, is having those huge vulnerabilities in your lineup where you can just have them ban one deck and then 3-0 with a deck if you have, like, two decks, if they have two decks that are just, like, going to 3-0 your lineup with, like, one specific ban.
Yeah.
Those type of vulnerabilities. And what I'm also curious about is, you said that you looked at the stats for the Black Knight and found that they were insanely high. So what exactly do you mean when you say stuff like, I'm looking at individual card stats?
Then I also use HS Replay. And for the Black Knight, I saw, like, for all the cards you can play in even Warlock, you can also do that on HS Replay. Should I tell where you can see it? Or?
I mean, they can probably figure it out.
Okay. And then I look at the drawn win rate. Don't look at the played win rate, please. you look at the drawn win rate, and then I saw, okay, Black Knight is the highest drawn win rate card. And then I think, is this just because it has low sample size, and just one guy did crazy well with even Warlock, and then all the cards in his deck had drawn win rate, higher drawn win rate, of course. But then I went to the individual decks, looked at them too with the drawn win rate, and then I saw that Black Knight was still on top, and I was like, that's pretty interesting. Then I should try it myself.
So you're basically going through the decks that they have on there and seeing what the highest win rate when drawn cards are, and you noticed a pattern that the Black Knight was always having a really high win percentage when drawn, is what you're saying, right?
Exactly.
And that's something you can see on HS Replay when you have premium. You just go on it, and you look at the deck list, and then it will show you a bunch of different stats, and one of them is win rate when drawn, which is what you're looking at to figure out, like, a power level of a tech card, basically, is when I draw this card, I'm winning a lot more, and then you see, do some more research, and you see that not only in this deck is it have an insanely high win rate, but in all the decks that it's being played in, it has an insanely high win rate when drawn. So then you just come to the natural conclusion that this card is actually just really good, and people are sleeping on it.
Yeah, exactly.
And until now.
Until now, yeah. Now people know. And also before DreamHack, some other people got really high legend with Black Knight. Like Theo did really well with even Warlock on ladder, and he also played Black Knight. I also asked him, what do you think about Black Knight? And he also said, I think it's insane. Like, it's really good. So that also just gave me confirmation, okay, this is a good card, I should bring this.
Pretty much, you just look at the stats, you confirm it with other players,
yeah,
and then you test it, and you realize, hey, this feels really good. And then that's it. It's done. You win DreamHack. GG.
Is that easy? Yeah. And then I do a lot of playtesting. Like, I really have to be confident in the decks I play. I also talk with my main practice partner for this tournament. It was Balorix, a Danish player who's really good too. We talked a lot about, we have to bring decks that we are really good at, that we are really confident with, because there's so much different stuff we can play. So we really felt like we shouldn't go for something too next level. Just go for something that we know we can play well, and the other guys can't really, like, know what we're gonna bring, because you can't really prepare for everything, and yeah, so
right.
And I was really confident in the Odd Warrior and Odd Rogue in particular, because those decks I've played the most this expansion. So I really wanted to bring them, and then Warlock and Druid are just so good.
Yeah, so that's actually a critical thing to recognize, as especially for somebody that's maybe newer to tournaments, is that bringing something that you're comfortable with, that you actually know inside and out, is very important. Like Fury, he brought good decks, and he brought a lineup that synergized well and made a lot of sense, but these decks that he brought were also just decks that he knew how to play, decks that he's been playing for, I don't know, how long have you been playing for those decks in this metagame, like months?
Yeah, two months or something, like since the expansion, pretty much.
So not only is it just bringing a lineup that makes sense, good decks, but it's also decks that you're familiar with. So if you're thinking, oh, this lineup might be the best lineup for this tournament, but I've never played any of these decks, would you recommend that they just bring what they're more comfortable with, or they just play decks that they are only going to get to practice with, like, a couple days before the tournament?
I would say, generally, bring what you're comfortable with, but also make sure that it's not just a complete meme that loses to everything. But, for example, my Odd Warrior, it was also a really good bring, because people really didn't know what the matchups were against it and how to play against it. So they were just thinking, how do I win this game? And I knew exactly what to do in those matchups, because I've been in that scenario a lot of times. So it might not have been the best deck if they knew exactly when to ban it and what to do against it, what is good against it. But it went really well, because I think personally it's a pretty good deck. But if people knew how to play perfectly against it, I maybe wouldn't have brought it, actually. But
right.
Yeah, so also, if you play just the best decks, you would expect that a lot of other people also bring just the best decks, and then you have to outperform some of the best players in the world, and that can be really hard. Then it might just be better to play some other stuff that you know you can play really well, and they might not be comfortable playing against, and then you can have an edge that way.
Right, so if you don't know necessarily, like, say the top four, like, statistically best decks, like, 100% well, and you're not super comfortable on them, it's better to just bring what you are comfortable with, especially if it's not, like, necessarily off meta, but just not, like, top four, you know what I mean? Like, just something that they might not know inside and out matchup wise that you definitely do, as long as it's not too much of a meme, like, just terrible. If it's something that's good, that's just off meta, and you're comfortable with it, it's definitely what you should be doing, as opposed to trying to play something that you don't know, where you're going to have to play potentially multiple mirror matches against the best players in the world. It's just, you don't want to go toe-to-toe with those guys when they just have infinitely more knowledge than you do, because they've spent so much more time or whatever it is just playing those decks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's really good advice for players that are potentially going to play in a tournament for the first time, second time, whatever it is, just knowing that kind of information.
Yeah. You probably shouldn't go, like, too meme-y, like, with, for example, if you bring Quest Warlock, Quest Shaman, stuff like that. That's probably a bit too extreme. Even if people can't play against it, those decks are probably not good enough to win you games against the best decks.
Oh yeah, for sure. You don't want to just play bad decks. That's never a good thing. The last thing that I wanted to talk about was, do you have any, like, tournament nerves, or just, I don't know, a lot of people always ask me how to cope with, like, tournament anxiety, or just dealing with playing against good players and not freaking out. Did that kind of stuff happen to you at all? And if it did, how did you cope with it?
Like, at the first big tournaments I was at, like the first time I was at a DreamHack, I was kind of nervous. I was like, oh, I'm gonna play against some of the best players in the world, and I didn't really get too much sleep before the first day at that tournament. And sleep before the first day is a really good thing, because you're gonna play Hearthstone for like 12 hours or something like that. And in the end, I wrote everything down also, and I missed a card, and then I ended up losing because of that. That's also another thing. Probably don't write everything down. Write maybe the most important cards down, or if you know this matchup is going to go to fatigue, just take your time, rope a lot, and just write everything down. But yeah, get some sleep. And also, when it comes to, was I nervous? When it got to at DreamHack Summer, it was my first time on stream at like a big tournament, and the stress kind of got to me. One game where I misplayed and only got one scenario stoned, and I was like, wait, what just happened? I was really nervous, because a lot of people are watching me, and if I fuck up, I'm gonna lose, because I was just dead if I fuck something up. And then I did fuck up, and I almost lost because of that. And then in the semifinal, I also missed lethal, but that was mainly just because I tunnel visioned on clearing his board, because then I could never lose.
Mm-hmm.
But the stress was definitely a thing I need more experience to deal with. The first time on a big stream is kind of nerve-wracking.
I guess you just have to slow down, like you said, take your time, write everything down, just try to get into the game more so than think about what's going on around you.
Yeah. Also, at my first DreamHack, one of the things that I learned the most from that was I played against Viper, and I just wrote everything down, and after the game he told me, maybe if you didn't write everything down, but looked at what my hand was and tried to hand read, okay, he didn't play this card for a lot of turns, that's probably Fireball or Pyroblast or something, then I could have won the game, because I didn't play around his burst, I played around him having minions, but he would have played them earlier. And so he told me, hand reading is really important, and that's something you gotta learn to perform really well at tournaments. So I'm really glad that Viper told me that, and I really took that on to the next tournaments I played.
Yeah, definitely don't take your losses too hard and try to learn from them. A lot of people, when they lose, they just become salty and they blame X, Y, and Z, whereas with you, you're just trying to learn from every loss, and that's the best way to go about it. Whether even if people don't necessarily give you advice like Viper did, when you lose, I feel like there's always something that you could do better, even if it doesn't seem like it. Something very small that you could have just done better, even if it doesn't make a difference. You're just always trying to improve your game, improve your hand tracking, and improve whatever it is, whatever aspect of your game that you need to just get better at, especially for LAN tournaments, because you're not going to have a deck tracker available to you. Like, there's so much more skill involved in LAN tournaments, where you have to physically just try to write down things manually, or even if you're at HCT, you don't get pen and paper, so you're just trying to mentally remember positions of cards and stuff like that. It's just a skill that I think that everybody can improve on. I don't think anybody is perfect at it right now. I think it's always something that we can strive to do better at, and the attitude that you take towards just getting better is one that you're going to need to continue to see success in the future.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, when you lose, look at what did I do wrong. Like, everything, be a little bit hard on yourself. Just think about, what did I do wrong? Not about, oh, yeah, but he top decked Leroy. I would have won if he didn't do it. But maybe if you'd made the correct play all of the game, you wouldn't have died to that top deck Leroy. And you can improve on that for the next time. And if you like play perfectly at every tournament, you're not gonna get unlucky every time. So if you feel like you play perfectly, you might be playing perfectly, and then you will win something at some point, but you're probably not playing perfectly, and you have to look at, okay, so I can do this, this, and this better.
Yeah, exactly. And consistency is key. I mean, we're playing a card game. We're playing something that inherently involves some level of RNG, so you're not going to win everything, even if you are the best player in the room, every single time. That's just how card games work. You're not going to hit the jackpot every single time, but if you're consistent enough, if you're continuously improving, you are going to see a payoff at some point. And this doesn't just include tournament play, it includes ladder as well. If you're trying to get legend, if you're struggling and you're thinking, man, I'm just getting so unlucky, I'm just like not hitting legend because I keep hitting these bad matchups, I keep losing because I'm drawing poorly, no, don't have that mindset. You have to have the mindset of, okay, what am I doing wrong? What can I improve here, there? And then just keep trying to get better and improve your gameplay with each and every game that you play, and you're eventually going to reach the goals that you set for yourself, as long as they're realistic.
Yeah, and at tournaments, it also goes the other way around. If you face a really good player, and maybe he has a good lineup against yours, you don't think, oh, I already lost this. Just think, okay, how can I win? What are my outs this game? Do I have to top deck the Leroy that then set up for that top deck Leroy? And that it will happen sometimes. And don't just like, oh my god, it's Amnesiac. I can't win. He has good decks, and mine are maybe not so good. You can still really just try to not mentally give up and just try to do the best you can.
Yeah, anybody can beat anybody in this game, honestly. Yeah. That's just how it goes. So do you want to close it out? Is there anything more that you wanted to talk about specifically?
No, I think we covered everything I wanted to talk about.
All right. So thank you very much, Fury Hunter, for coming on today. Do you want to shout out your social medias, where people can follow you, streaming, if you do that, all that kind of stuff? Just let everybody know.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/FuryHunterHS. And I also began streaming today, actually. Or if you are listening to this on another day, the day that this was recorded, I began streaming. And I'm going to stream for the next year pretty consistently. So go follow that on twitch.tv/FuryHunterHS again.
Okay, do you want to just spell it out so people can...
Yeah, it's FuryHunterHS, both on Twitter and Twitch.
Okay, so your Twitch and your Twitter are the same thing?
Yeah.
Alright, sounds good. And today I don't actually have access to the list of Patreons and iTunes reviews and all that stuff. Usually JR has that up, but he's not here this week, unfortunately. Like I said, he's busy moving and Danny is busy with work stuff, so this was something that I wanted to do, try to get out to you, and Fury Hunter was kind enough to join me in doing this special episode, and I do really appreciate it, man. That means a lot to me, especially after you just got home from DreamHack, just got done streaming with the time difference and everything. You are the real MVP here, and anybody who's listening should 100% go show him some love on Twitter and Twitch. Go follow him. You can follow me at PG_RayC on Twitter and on Twitch at twitch.tv/RayC591. But definitely shout outs to Fury Hunter for coming on today. Go follow him. Go show him some love. And yeah.
Yeah,
that's it.
Thanks a lot for having me. So.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. Do you have anything else? Any shout-outs? Any last thoughts?
No, not really.
All right. Sounds good. This was episode 156 of the Well Met podcast, and we will be back on Sunday or Monday with the next episode. So the whole squad will be back again. Tune in then, and we'll see you there.